We started learning the third chelik of the Maimer of Yeshet HaMelech LaEsther. We're up to the commentary at page Ayin Beis, the top of the page. Bereish HaSharvit. The reaching out of the golden scepter to Esther is the reaching out of Hashem Isbarach Kivyochel, the infinite light of God that reaches out to the Jewish people. And just like the Sharvit can only be, the Sharvit was not taken from the king, but was only touched at the edge, that touch of the edge that gives chiyus and gives light and life to the world and enables a person to feel a rishpei eshel heves of love, a fiery love for Hashem Isbarach, and a longing that a person can have for Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is why it's called the Shaivet HaZahav. Zahav, gold, means a feeling of ahava that comes as a result of Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol reaching out the Shaivet HaZahav to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, who's called Esther HaMalka. We spoke about two types of love, Ahava Kamaim and Ahava Ke'esh. We're continuing with the commentary. Bereish HaSharvit, Hainu Katseyu HaTachtayim, and the Sinas Kol HaSharvit Gam Katseyu Elyon VeHevdo B'neihem. What's the difference between Esther HaMalka, the Jewish people holding on to just the end, the very, very tip of the golden scepter, as opposed to receiving the scepter? The king doesn't give the scepter away. He reaches it out, and Esther Malka touches the end of it. So, v'katzeihu hatachtein, hu kisha ahava aza zu bayara umislahevis mizbeninus begdulas ein seif baruchu memalik kal almin v'seivav kal almin. This touching of the end of the golden scepter corresponds to that ability that a Jew has to contemplate the end or the edge or the tip of Hashem's relationship to the world, the tip of that. And the tip of that alone, if a person contemplates it, we spoke about this last week, it doesn't mean stam, a passing thought, but it means bemes, to contemplate, to think deeply, pnimius, to work hard on it, and to think about how Hashem is Sovev Kalam and how He surrounds all worlds and is Mamala Kalam and fills all the worlds. We'll talk more about that. We have in the past, and we'll go into it more now. When a person meditates upon that, thinks upon that, so that itself, even though it's only the tip of the golden scepter, that itself is Ma'ura, a burning love for Hashem is Baruch. So he explains, HaKtzei HaTachtein Shel HaSharvit HaZahav, that edge, that tip of the golden scepter, which is Chelek HaSharvit Sheha'omid Lefnei Melech Nogeya Bo, that's the only part that the one who's standing in the presence of the king can actually touch. Moira Al Ha'or HaElokei Kifi SheNimshach U'Mashpi Achiyas B'Nivraim Kanel. That is the godly light that Hashem is mashpia. Hashem sends into the world. The world is touched by the tip of Hashem's golden scepter, and that gives chiyus, that gives vitality and life into all creation. V'yesh shtei madregas klolius ba'or v'chiyus zeh. There are two general ways that this light, that this presence of God is infused into the world. There are two ways that happens, which we've spoken about in the earlier Mamor, and in almost every Maimor of the Alter Rebbe this will be brought up. In the Kroyis Bezar, these two ways of Hashem's light being revealed in the world and giving chiz to the world are referred to in the Zohar Kodesh B'Shem Memalei Kol Almin, fills all worlds, V'Sovev Kol Almin, and surrounds all worlds. Perish, the meaning of this, Memalei Kol Almin Hu Ha'or V'Achiyas HaElokei HaMeslabesh B'Nivroim. Memalei Kol Almin is that light And that chiyus, that godly chiyus, which is mislabish b'nevarim, which becomes enclosed in all existence, l'hachyoisam, it gives life to everything. It's what gives the flower its life. It's what gives the person. It's what gives even the rocks. That chiyus, that's the chiyus on the level of daimim, of an inanimate object. But whatever that chiyus is, then now we know that molecularly, there are things that has a chiyus, everything in the world has a chiyus, and that chiyus is the mamale that fills everything in life, that everything in existence that gives that existence its chiyus, its life. K'me nefesh ha-melubashes beguf. Just like in a human being, the soul is enclosed in the body. Va'aysa aysa leguf chai. And it makes this body a living body. V'kamayim ha-chazal. Maha nefesh mamale es ha-guf, kach ha-kadosh baruch hu, mole es ha-olam. And this is the Maimer Chazal, that Chazal make a comparison. Of course, it's a very distant comparison, but the closest we could speak of is just as the soul fills the body, so God fills the world. And that's the meaning of filling, a light that fills, it gives chiyus. The second that the soul leaves the body, the body is nothing. That's Mimale, that's the light that fills. The Soivev Kol Almin, and surrounds all the worlds. Hu ha'or ha'eloki shebebchinas ein soif. That light of God that is the infinite. The lehayayse or bilti mugbal, since it is a light which is without gvul, it's without end, it's infinite. Eini yochal liyas nitpas ba'olamais. It can't be comprehended. It's not the light of Ein Sof himself is something which cannot be contained, understood by anything that exists. Ein yochal liyas nitpas ba'olamais. L'chein nikra soivev kol alma. Therefore, it's called surrounding all worlds. Af al pi shegam or zeh. Nimsa b'soicha olamais, even though this light is also found in the worlds, in all the worlds, meaning that this light exists in all the worlds. Lefishagam behayayisa b'soicha olamais nishar muvdal umaruma mehem. However, even while this light, of course, the infinite light of God, exists in all the worlds, it remains in a state of being muvdal umaruma mehem. It is separate and above. It is separate and above. It's beyond this world. So gam behayayse b'soicha olam es nisha muvdal umaruma mehem. And the world can't comprehend or grasp. It's there. It's there, but we can't possibly sense its presence. Alan Mikol Malcolm, nevertheless, he writes, we should know, we have to understand. Alan Mikol Malcolm, Gam Soivev Kol Almin, Hu Or Shein Yon Olahachyeis Es Ha'ilamais. Even the light that's called the light that surrounds all worlds is what is machaye all worlds. It gives life to all worlds. Ela shayif and pulasa, who it all comes from there. Everything comes from the infinite light of God. Ela shayif and pulasa, who shagam kishapoyel ba'olamis nisha bebchinas havdala mehem. But the way that it works is that even when it's giving life to all existence, the infinite light of God operates in a. It operates in a hidden way, in a way that we can't experience or feel. Sha'ifen pulasahu shagam kishapol ba'ilbis nisha b'chinis havdala mihem. Even when it's poil in the world, it's not in a way that the world can understand. Its way of conducting itself is secret. It's secret, it's hidden, it's mysterious. the nikra pula b'derech makif, and that's always referred to as pula b'derech makif, an action that takes place. It functions in a way that's called makif, which surrounding we don't experience, we don't understand. V'im kein gam or zeh hu begeder hashpa. We have to understand that this light is also begeder hashpa, that this light is also a light that is mashpia, that influences and affects. Uchademuchach me'atoya soivev kol almin, as is clear from the term soivev kol almin, surrounds all worlds. The fact that it says that it surrounds the worlds indicates that it has a connection, it has some relationship, but it's a surrounding relationship, it's not a filling relationship. When a person meditates upon this, the greatness of Hashem, how Hashem gives life and sustains all worlds, with these two types of light and life, this awakens within his heart a tremendous love for God. He wants to become closer and totally swept into this source of life. You know, like I mentioned last week, when you learn something like this, you think, okay, this is an interesting thought, and maybe, you know, maybe it's something Kabbalistic, philosophical. How does that help me love God? And even if it does, how would I be able to think about this for more than 10 seconds? And the Rebbe seems to be talking about something that should be able to keep me as a Jew my entire life. You know, this sounds like an interesting thought, surrounding and filling, and again, what should I do with that? What should I do with that thought? And that's because we're very, very far removed from his bainus. And also because the Rebbe is not Marich, he doesn't explain at length here what that meditation consists of. And that's something which obviously requires much, much more work to understand the meaning of Mamali and Saivev. So he gives in 33, if you look at footnote 33, it makes it a little bit more understandable for us. Ksas dug melodava. Ksas dug melodava, a little bit of an example of this, to understand this. Yesh chacham hamagala seichel nifle, shalamala mikleya seichel, so shayn eilik chay. You have a Rebbe, a Talmid Chacham, who has a very sharp mind, and he's a Megala Seichel Nifla, and he teaches something, he reveals a wondrous thought, which is above and beyond the Kalim, the intellectual Kalim of those who are listening to the Torah, to the Shia, to the Chachma. They can't absorb it, they can't comprehend it. Aval B'Shoimim Gufa Yesh Shnei Sugin. Among the listeners, there are two types. Yesh mi shemevin ktsas es devei chacham. There is the one who understands a little bit, something, of what the chacham is saying. U'b'shamay oisam sichlo mizbal b'legamrei meirov oimkom she'en b'yachalta lahasi. This person is already a sharper person, a brighter person, so he's able to grasp a little bit of something. And you know how they say in the world that a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of knowledge can be dangerous, right? So what happens is that since this person has some ability to grasp, but yet is only able to grasp a bit of that chachma of the chacham, so as a result of that, there could be all kinds of confusion. There could be all types of bilbulim. Because the person feels that he understands something, and he's trying, he will apply that little bit of understanding to the entire inyan, to the entire shir or shmuz that he's hearing, and it will be filled with all kinds of bilbulim and inconsistencies because he thinks he gets it and he doesn't get it. He might get a drop of it, but he doesn't get it. So he's misbabel gamrei. He becomes altogether confused, and he says, "How could that be? This thing that he first said contradicts the second thing that he said, and the third thing contradicts the first two things. There's no contradictions at all." But because he chapped something, so now it's all bilbulim, it's all confusion. V'yesh chacham katan yosef. Then there's a little bit. Chacham is a little chacham. So a little chacham. He's on a lower level of understanding. Shein eshayach klal lahavin is divrei chacham. He doesn't understand at all what the chacham is talking about. There's no idea what that's about. Val kein af sheshemeya kol devarav. Even though he hears every word, einam is balbal mahem. He's not confused at all. It's mechayah. He doesn't get it, and it doesn't bother him. There's no bilbulim at all. Einam is balbal mahem. Since the seichel of the Rebbe is totally not at all on the same wavelength as this, as the student seichel, it's bechlal not his seichel. Therefore, it doesn't affect his seichel. It's not absorbed at all. It's not comprehended at all by his seichel. And it doesn't confront him. It doesn't assault him or confront him. I feel a b'derech makif, even in any kind of a subtle, slight way. It doesn't bechlal not. It is bechlal not. After the Rebbe says, you know, good morning. After that, it's all, you know, downhill. So the Rebbe says good morning. Then the Rebbe starts to say over the shir. Says the shmuz, and this guy is. It doesn't affect him at all. The advantage of the course is that this fellow is never confused. This weaker student is never confused at all. There are no inconsistencies that he notices and that he picks up on, and he's fine. He's fine. Some of the greatest errors and mistakes, of course, come from the brightest peoples, right? The simple, the pshutim, they have no pretenses, and they don't understand, and they don't claim to understand, and they're simple, and they're not confused. And what's the nimshal? Shaloshan soivev kol almin, that soivev kol almin, surrounding all the worlds, meira al geder shaychus la'olamis, it's referring to a connection. There is some shaychus to the worlds, because it says it surrounds all the worlds. Meaning, surrounding is also a relationship. Da'af al pi shuhu l'malam in ha'olamis, even though it's above the worlds, it surrounds, and therefore it's not able to be comprehended. Nevertheless, it still is in the geder of world, of being part of the world. It's enough to get confused. In other words, when it comes to the weaker Talmud, it's not even a makif. When the Rebbe talks, this brilliant Rebbe talks, and this Talmud doesn't have a word. So then that Rebbe Seichel is not, one second, that Rebbe Seichel is not bechlal to get the Olamis. That Rebbe Seichel is not shaychus to the world of the weaker student. No shaychus at all. So the weaker student doesn't feel any issues of grappling with this and struggling with this. Right after the shiur, he had to sit there. It's not nice to walk out. He takes out his sandwich. He's fine. Then you look at the other guy, the sharp student, right? And the guy can't eat. He's all upset. And he said, "Can you believe you heard what the Rebbe said? Doesn't make any sense at all. I don't get it." But he can't eat, right? This guy can't eat. He's all upset with what the Rebbe said. Because there's enough there of something. There's a shaychus to the ilmus of this guy's seichel, that he's struggling with it and grappling with it. Just like all of us are cresting all day about God did this to me, God did that to me. How come God does that? How come God did this? There's enough there that causes us to get upset, right? And we're not so stupid that we can't get to there's something going on. So the bilbul and the confusion that comes with a little bit of that shaykhist to the Olamis. There's a shaykhis, it's a makif. Masha'enikein, the person who had no shaykhis to the seichel of the Rabbi, so there's nothing, everything is okay. So, everything's good. So he says, Uvimela, Afenim is Balbimena. I'm sorry, I read the last thing. Yeah, come on, Talmud is Babu. Yeah, but I make Sechel like Ravim. Mashiach can't catch Baruch with Chayda Atzmai. Ain't a begedah Eilam is Klal. Hashem is Baruch himself. And I'm talking about the surrounding light. The Baruch Shalom Kivyachal Etzim Atzmusai. God himself, not light, remember, light is something which is shining upon. But God himself is Ain't a begedah Eilam is Klal. That doesn't confuse us at all. That's like like the Gemara talks about the beginning of Chagiga. It's totally beyond you. We don't travel to that place. We don't go to that place, and so therefore we're not confused by it. What we are confused by is God's presence in the world that can be sensed and felt, even though the Seir of Kalam is a makif. Even though we don't grasp it, it's a makif, but it's a shaychus to Legumis. And then there's that chiyus that's mamali kalam, that fills and that and gives life and so on. Lima.
I mean, I'm not simple, right?
Sorry?
He gave us two possibilities. The one is simple version, which I'm not. And the other is an intelligent version, which I am partly. And I don't see confusion in any of this. I wouldn't want you to tell me where the confusion can be.
How do I answer this? You got me now. Confusion that comes, the confusion that comes from a person wanting very, very badly to understand God's ways. He loves God, believes in God, right? And is trying very, very hard to get closer to God. And no matter how hard the person tries, there are barriers and walls and restrictions and signs, no entry. That doesn't mean that confusion, and by the way, the fact that a person is intelligent doesn't mean that the person is not simple. It happens that you are a very simple person and you're very intelligent. That's not a contradiction, to be very simple and to be very intelligent. As far as the students in the story over here are concerned, remember, it's a mashal, it's an example. In class, you're right. That's why it's not, whenever we switch from a Rebbe to God, there's going to be a problem. Because in a classroom, a person who's intelligent, very intelligent, even if it's a simple and trusting person, if as long as the Rebbe, as long as the teacher is more intelligent, is sharper, then the intelligent student is bound to be confused. Why? Because if the Rebbe is revealing a higher level of intellect than the student has kalim, has the vessels to receive, unless the student simply doesn't care and says, it's all right if I don't get it. That's not what we're talking about. You could be very intelligent and not care. But if you care, I saw a story that after the shiur that Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, gave years ago, so the guys from the yeshiva came around him, and they were talking about it, and one of the fellas asked a good question on the shiur, and they were all talking about it, and Rav Shach back and forth for like an hour or two. They were talking about this kasha that the Baruch asked, a good question, and they couldn't. Rav Shach didn't have an answer, and they were working on it, and Rav Shach didn't have an answer. And then, that was the end of the maisa. What happened was is that the next morning, by shachris, by davening, Rav Shach wasn't there. It's very, very unusual that Rav Shach would not be shachris in yeshiva. And they waited for a while, and it was only an hour or two after davening that Rav Shach came to the yeshiva. And everybody went, of course, to Rav Shach and asked if the Rebbe's okay, or she was okay, what happened? So she said, what do you mean what happened? You remember last night we had that discussion about that Gemara? So he said, yeah. And you remember that whatever Yankel asked the question? Yeah, and we didn't have an answer. He says, I couldn't sleep. I was up the whole night trying to understand the Gemara. I couldn't sleep. And then, so what I did was I davened Vesikin. I davened the earliest possible time. I went to Vesikin to daven. And then I went to Yerushalayim to ask the Biskarov. I went to ask the Biskarov, and Biskarov explained the Gemara, and I just got back. Now, if you or I were one of the students, we would have gone to sleep and got up the next morning, and we wouldn't have been confused. It would have been one of those things in life, you know, okay, whatever. Like, you know, but Rav Shach was confused. So who's greater? The students or Rav Shach? Rav Shach. No? Rav Shach was confused. The guys had a good kashrut, it's fun, you know, it's like in yeshiva, especially if you get the Gadol HaDor and you can't get him to answer right away, right? Well, then the Brisk Rav is the Gadol HaDor, you can't get him to answer. Yes, it was gewaldig. But then that's it, they ate supper, and they went to sleep, everything was great. In the meantime, Rav Shach is pacing back and forth in his apartment, going crazy from this Gemara. And Akedekach, that he couldn't go on, he davens Vesik, and he goes back, they're talking about in the early, you know, we're talking about the 1950s, he goes on a bus to Yerushalayim. He took a bus to Yerushalayim, to the Biskarov. So what does that mean? So you would say, Blima Feinstein would say, I'm not confused. Well, that's not a good sign. You should be confused, unless you're hearing something that is not at all beyond your level of comprehension. But in our relationship with God, there's always an infinite that's beyond our comprehension. And even the nicest, finest Jews, who are big believers in God and are very simple, they're still waiting to hear what happened in the Holocaust, you know? If you're not waiting to hear about that, you know, being a simple Jew that believes in God doesn't mean that you can't be anxious to hear the terrorists at Akasha. Rav Shach believes that the Gemara is right. And yet he couldn't sleep, and he had to go to the Biskarov to ask him a terrorist. And Jews that went through the Holocaust, they believe that God is this. They're holy Jews and believe that God was right. But you think that they can go to sleep until they're able to ask Mashiach for the terrorist at Akasha? No, they're not sleeping. Not because they don't believe in God. Not because they're not simple. It's a good kasha. The Holocaust is a good kasha. There's nothing in your life that you find is a good kasha. Baruch Hashem. The next level beyond, that's good, but the... Right, so the next level, any level beyond what I get, is confusing. Why is it confusing? Because that next level beyond what I understand is always going to contradict things I do understand. That's just how it is. That's when a person is mamik, when a person is a deep thinker, when a person is trying to understand. Of course, simple people, so that it's not... when I say simple, again, it's all different levels, different levels of seichel, of intelligence. But as far as our relationship with God is concerned, even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level, he didn't reach the 50th level. That means the 50th level for Moshe Rabbeinu was a makif, was surrounding. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself could ask a kasha. Zu Torah, Zu Schara, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu saw a vision of Rabbi Akiva being tortured to death, after being shown that Rabbi Akiva was such an amazing tzaddik that he was able to see secrets of Torah in every single dot and dash and, you know, in the letters and crowns of the letters. And then, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, yeah, what's going to happen to that tzaddik? So Hashem shows him the next picture is what? That they're selling Rabbi Akiva's flesh. The Romans are selling Rabbi Akiva's flesh in the marketplace. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Zu Torah, Zu Schara? This is Schara? This is the reward for learning Torah? And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shtoik, be silent. Kach also mashav lefanav. If you say another word, I'm going to destroy the entire universe. And for any intelligent Jew, there is going to be a voice of Hashem saying to him, be silent. Unless you don't think. If you don't think, which is not the meaning of simple in my mind, what simple means, but I don't know, I'm simple, so that's my simple way of understanding what simple, what it means. If a person doesn't think, that's not simple, he's an idiot. That's an idiot. But for a person who's thinking, even if he's not sharp or intelligent, but a person who's thinking, there's always that makif, there's always that surrounding thought that he just doesn't have. And you know what? Maybe by that afternoon, or maybe he'll take a trip to the Viskrov, and then he will get it. And then that light that was surrounding his mind will now become what? Mamali will now fill his mind. And all of life is a constant, constant effort on man's part to draw surrounding light and bring it in to be inner light. That's all of life. The life of an intelligent person. A person who's an idiot, his life consists of how do I get cars, you know, cars, women, and clothing that I don't have yet and make it part of my life? How do I take a soyvev and make it into my life? Okay. There are people that live like that. But that's not a bal seichel. That's not a yid. It's not what a yid is supposed to be. A Jew's life is to constantly try to go and take that next surrounding thought and to draw it into be a mamali, to change the soyvev into a mamali, to change the nishma into a naase. I will hear to I will do. Meaning, to take that which I don't yet grasp and to make it something which is part of my world of comprehension. But, at the end of the day, what the Rebbe is explaining here, and the Perush here is explaining, is that at the end of the day, when it comes to God, there's the infinite essence of God is beyond Moshe Rabbeinu, is beyond everybody. It's beyond anything of this world. It can't be grasped. It's not the gather olamais. That's what he means when he says it's not in the category of worlds. Greater people can comprehend higher levels of worlds, of higher levels of reality in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu was 49. Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu the pasuk can tell him about the chasrei ma'at me'elokim. He was missing a little bit from God. From that, but no person could reach. That essence is unreachable. It's not begeder olamos. It's not called world. It's beyond the world. The soul of Kol Alma is still part of the world, but it surrounds the world. And the greater a person is, the more brilliant and the higher a person is, the more confused he is. But there comes great satisfaction when he conquers new territory in the world of soyvev, of resolving the confusion. And all of the entire life of an intelligent person is getting confused, and then regarding that issue, clearing up the confusion, and then becoming confused once again. That's the tachas of life. To be confused, to resolve that confusion, and then to work through the next level and be confused again. And then to resolve that confusion. That's the tachlis of thinking, of being in the world. And an avodas Hashem is the tachlis of an avodas Hashem. But for a person who's just sitting in one place, and he's never confused, so, say that he is an idiot. Everything is nice, everything is good. It's mechai. So it means he's not thinking. If you're thinking, then there's pain. That's it. If you're thinking, there's confusion. Confusion doesn't mean that you don't believe in God, that you're not going to keep Shabbos or put on tefillin or something. It just means that you want very desperately to know that next level so that you can get closer to God. And there's something in the way. That's called confusion.
You don't get depressed.
Yes, people do get depressed over. And the most brilliant people often get the most depressed. Yeah. And very, very brilliant people often have to struggle with depression more than simple people, more than the farmer or the... You know, the guy that's just knows what he has to do, and he has his tachlis and zachrayis to take care of this. And that's why they're brilliant people themselves. Their suffering is beyond imagination. Like someone else says, Yosef das, Yosef machov. The more intelligence you add, the greater the wisdom, the more pain. But the Chacham says it's still kedai. It's still worth it. Shlomo Melech was the one who said that. So it's worth it. But it's painful because of the confusion. Yeah.
Did Hashem answer Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards when he said Shtok, or that was it?
No.
You never ask them anymore.
No, that was the end. That was Hashem saying this conversation is over. Finish. Shtaik. Be silent. That's not vayda. Being silent is not vayda. That was Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, even you can't go beyond this point. You can't go over here. Shtaik. That's why in the Kodesh Kedoshim there's silence. You don't go there. Even when the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur, he says a tefillah tzar and he gets out. There's no, it's silent really. In the Kodesh Kedoshim there's nothing to say. When you're in that place of that's closest to God in this world, you can't say anything. You can't. There's nothing to say. The further one is away, the more there is to say. The closer you are, the more you realize that there's nothing to say. That's the place that's called shtika, silence. So that unknowable, it's called the resha de la yisyada, it's called the top or the head or the beginning that's unknowable. That's the part of the scepter that the king's holding on to, that you can't get that. The king reaches out the scepter to the world and you could touch the edge, you get the tip, but the part, the ketzei ha'elyon. Let's go right. Let's read. That means the part of the scepter that's in the king's hand. That means God himself that's in his hand. That you can't understand at all. You could think about how you can't understand it. And that also is an unbelievable thought. That when you think about how the mahus na'atzmus, how the essence of God is something which is unknowable. And we can't even use the word gedula. You can't even say about it being great. Because greatness already means there's a shaychus. That already means there's a shaychus. If you ask, let's go back to the student. If you ask these two students, one of them is a very, very bright student, the other one is very simple. So when they walk out from the shiur, which one of them says it was a great shiur? The one that was bright, the one that's bright, even though he's upset, angry, and confused, he says a great shiur. The other guy that's sitting there munching his sandwich, he's asking him, what do you think of this shiur? He says, no, I was talking about it. I didn't get half a word. It was 2 hours of torture. 2 hours of just trying to get to my paper bag and get that sandwich. To my lunch bag. 2 hours of torture. And the one that's very bright, she comes out and he says, Dabsh, gevaldig shiur. And the simple guy can't understand. He says, why are you saying it's a gevaldig shiur? You're screaming and yelling and arguing and fighting with everybody in the room about this shiur for the last 5 hours. I hear you yelling and screaming and you're telling me it's great. And I heard you at the end of all your screaming and yelling saying, I don't understand what the Rebbe said. So the simpleton says, I also don't understand what he said, but I feel good. You say you don't understand what the Rebbe said and you're all upset and you're having fights with everybody in the shiur. What's the matter with you? So the smart guy says, what are you crazy? It was a great shiur. It's a great shiur. If it's so great, then he's so angry. I'm angry because I don't get it. It was a great shiur. Because it's part of his. Because even though it's still a soivev, even though the shiur is still surrounding him, maybe over the next 2-3 days he'll work it out. He'll ask him maybe again. So the shiur is surrounding his mind, but he feels the greatness of it. He senses the greatness of it. He's excited by it. I remember the feeling when I was. And it was one of those 3.5-4 hour shiurim. And while he's sitting there, your mom is going out of your kelim. When it was a good day, and he was already wasn't well, but when he had a good day, and it was one of those. So first of all, I was sitting and writing and filling up like a loose leaf from that shiur, and going crazy. And the whole time saying to myself, this is unbelievable. I'm so excited. I hope that I'm going to understand it later on. This is the most unbelievable shiur. Hashem's Baruch should help me that I should understand it. I didn't understand it at the time. I had little bits, you know, I was picking up on stuff and it was like, I was picking up on stuff. But then I knew that, it's such a soivev, it's just surrounding. And I'm going to have to work on it a lot with the guys and talk to different, you know, rebellion and try to get this, it should be the Mali Kalam. But there was already a lesson that you could say, that this is the most amazing shiur. It's the most amazing shiur. It's gevaldig shiur. And we were all sitting there shaking like you felt like you had Har Sinai. And I remember I told you once that I remember that there was this very, very, very brilliant Ilui that was in the Shia. It was a Rashiva now. It's a big Ilui. And he asked the Kasha on the whole 3-hour Shia. He asked the Kasha. He didn't even say where it was. He just said a Rambam in Hilchos Paradum. We didn't know what Rambam he was talking about. And Rabbi Yosef Ber was quiet for a minute. He was sitting and he took off his glasses, so we knew that was trouble. He was quiet, and then he said, my whole Shia is wrong. Everything he said is wrong. The last 3 hours, everything is wrong. And we just stood there, and we all sang, it sounded good to us. Sounds great. And not that we understood it yet. That guy understood it. That one guy chapped. And he understood that it contradicted the Rambam Paradum. And we didn't understand. To us it was, So then the end of the story, I told this to you, is that Rabbi Yosef Ber was quiet for another 2-3 minutes. That's all it was, another 2-3 minutes. He had his glasses off and he was like this, I remember. And then he said, first he was yelling at everybody to throw away their notes. He said, throw away their pages. So everybody just sat there, we didn't know what to do. He said, everything I said, the whole shiur is shek, it was a lie. And throw away the papers. I mean, put it into Seamus, whatever. Throw away the papers. And he started to yell that everybody should tear out their papers. And we just stood there. We had like 20 pages. And we just stood there, and he made us all put it on the side. We shouldn't keep it. It's shaker. He said it's a lie. And then he was quiet for a few minutes like this. And he said, no, we'll try a different mahalach. And he gave, for 2.5 hours, a whole different shiur. Every single thing was different. Every rishon, every marmakim was totally different. A whole different mahalach in the shiur. And then he turned to that Ilui, to that genius, and he said, is it okay? He said, it's okay. and he had a new loose leaf from that. The need is the emes in learning, truthfulness in learning. Anybody else would have already put out a kuntris. You could have gotten in Borough Park the next day, kuntris in the Indian of that shiur was in the shiur of Hachana de Rav. And anybody could have put out a kuntris on that Indian in the Gemara Bay. It would have been selling in Borough Park and would have been a bestseller, a billion shiur. And why? Because there was one guy that was such a genius that he knew the Paradum. So then we asked, what's the Hilchos Paradum? And he explained. It's unbelievable how he knew that. And then he didn't even say where, he just says, what about the Rabban Paradum? And the bishop said, he's right. And then afterwards we found out which halacha was, and then there was a whole, that fellow gave a whole shiur, explained to us what was the contradiction. It's something that's nerve ayim on him, and the Rabbi is nerve ayim. That the godless of Tyre. And then it was a whole new binyan in learning. After 2 minutes he was thinking. A whole new binyan. Huh?
Who was the?
Rabbi Ilson. Hi. It's a whole different binyan. Mamish. That's a godless in Tyre. But when you speak about God's essence, you can't say a lashon of gadol. You can't even really say that God is great. When we say God is great, and all the other stuff that we say about God, it's only according to the mimali and sovet. It's all what fills our lives, that we feel His presence, we sense His presence, what we learned in the svarim. Or even those things that we, when we say the words, like in davening, we don't really know what that means, but it's part of the surrounding light of God in the world. But then, that has a shaykhis to the ilumis. But when you speak about God Himself, you don't speak about God Himself. That's where it's be quiet. It's like, there's nothing to say. That's the upper part of the scepter. That's in God's hands. So He explains, Onam inyan kisei ha'elyon, so sharvit ha'zahav, he ahava haneledes belev ha'adam. That is the love that is born in the heart of a person. When a Jew thinks about Hashem b'chvayde v'atzmei, mahusav atzmus yisbarach, that God Himself in His essence, hu lamala mala, we call gedor ha'elohais, is way, way above, beyond all worlds. You can't even You can't even say the word Sayyid Kalama. What does it mean, Sayyid? It's Chatech Lal not. You can't even say that. Hamar al Yachas v'Shaychas al Ha'olam is Kanal. Because surrounding all worlds is a Shaychas. There's a connection, there's something. It's just, right now I don't get it. But you know what? Tomorrow I might be able to get it. Depending on how smart the person is. He might get it the next day. But then you come to a wall, there's nowhere to go. V'ilo Kadosh Baruch Hu, enevigad ha'olam is Kanal. Ubimela Lo Shayach Gam Loimer, the last paragraph on Ayin Beis. Ubimela Lo Shayach Gam Loimer b'madregezu shehodem izbonim begadlus Hashem. You can't even say, when you're thinking about His infinite essence, you can't say that I'm thinking about God's greatness, because greatness means I have a shayachus to it. Ki atar gedula lo yitochein ela bedover sheyesh lanu ezem musig betiv hadover. To say something is great is when I have a hasoga, when I have a something of what it means. So I could appreciate. That's why that student can say, "Oh, it's a great shiur." And the other guy says, "What do you mean it's a great shiur? You're screaming. You don't understand it." Jackie says, "It's great. You have a shaychus to it. There's something that you understand." But God in His divine essence, leis machshava tfisa beklal. It's beklal, no tfisa at all. You don't chap at all. Hashem Himself is not begeder hasaga. It's not comprehensible. It's not begeder hasaga. It doesn't mean that if the Ragachev would be here, he would get it. It means even if the Ragachev were here, he wouldn't get it. Even if Maish Rabbeinu were here, he wouldn't get it. It's not begeder hasaga klal. You can't be misboining in His divine essence. You can only be misboining how you don't get it. You can't be misboining. You can't meditate upon that which is incomprehensible. Only how unbelievable it is that despite His unknowable essence, He's worried about whether or not I have a stomachache or I don't have a stomachache. And kivyochel, He's worried about whether or not the shidduch works out or doesn't work out. And when a person is misboinin b'his boininus, real his boininus, and Hashem being soivav and mamali, we'll talk much more about this. And as over the years, as we learn more and more and more, see, this we'll understand on our madrega what this means more. It's very hard. Aragalachas, they mean of soivav and mamali. Then a person feels a tremendous ahav. A tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch. We'll have to stop here, and then we'll continue Be'ez Hashem and Ayin Gimel with the prayers.